Very good. So, we start today. We started today other part about Francois Wright. We continue our exploration of this universe. Okay, let's start to just recap some of the thinking that we have seen yesterday. And grazie, molte grazie. Thank you very much. And we can just re-see the images. We can just re-see the images that we saw. Okay. Okay, so while we see the images, we can, in some way, we can recall the concept that we discussed. The imprinting, the horizontality. Who's this guy? Bravo, very well done. I was reading quite a bit about Walt Whitman. Interesting situation. This is an image of Sullivan that we did not have yesterday. I added today to give you the sense of what that idea of dependency between construction, function, and decoration. We remember that we talk of the World Fair of Chicago, the Unity Temple. We discuss about this issue of symmetry along one axis and this symmetry along the other one in this space. We start to discuss about the issue of how structure creates space, creates manipulation, and then we discover piece by piece other elements. We discuss about light, we discuss about the idea of alcove. We eliminate the word decoration. We understand the word decoration is not a good word. We talked about how the elements in Frank Lloyd Wright in some way vibrate, create a vibration, and often this is not a cladding, but it's basically are coming from the elements themselves, the beams, the windows, the glass. In a way, the material vibrates, and that is a concept that goes throughout. So this is what the inside of the Unity Temple that we saw before in plan. We discussed, this is an important issue, the difference between dependency, independency of structure, like in the case of Le Corbusier, all typical modernists, and the idea of interdependency, that is a key idea of Wright, where the structure and the space and the other aspects are interdependent. They are manipulated one with the other. We saw the Robie House. We noticed how several structural elements created a shape, created the space, create the real structure of it. We saw some of the prairie houses. There is all a family of variation of them. We actually almost visit the Robie House is one of the most famous one of the issues of all the, we found all those elements together. What is this? Very all things that we learn piece by piece. is the Larkin. Then we were moved in Spring Green, where he started to do some buildings like the church, etc. And later on he moved his house, his studio, and he created this setting called Talisin East, that was destroyed more than once by fire, by other events. We read this as the beginning of his important issue of architectural record, a plan of Talisin, another view, another. This is in Chicago, the Midway Gardens, we were talking about that. And then, so this is what we've done so far. The web pages has been modified a little bit. I enter some keywords, and these keywords are very interesting because they are very important for us. Other people don't really understand. Like they are almost like passwords. They don't mean much for others, but for us it's very important instead, and for me, and also for you, because basically these keywords we know we can elaborate a lot. So if I, whatever keyword that is there, I know that each of you is able to elaborate about that, to expand the concept, etc. So it's like a map that you know certain points, and then out of which you can go on. Then we saw the building blocks part. I thought a bit about these block houses. I start to think that whatever you do in that particular case, you must have a way to engage the blocks of the house and the outside simultaneously. So we must have a scacchiera that has some parts that are the outside, some parts that are inside, and the two must, in a way, interlock to each other to really go in a strong, interesting concept that I think we have to do with it if we want to really pursue the potentiality of this system. So we spend some time just looking at this image, for example. We discover lots of things, lots of elements over here. Details and ideas, and also we use the Google Map to actually go and see them, and this is the Price Tower. We discuss about the plan. We understood how the same idea of the structural elements that they create the shape of the different offices and elements, and we discovered that is basically cantilevered out of these 4 points with some extra help, probably surely on the stair and probably some other elements over there. But this is the basic idea, is that the corners are all open, because basically things are cantilevered out of this system. So you can even clearly understand how the beams runs in order to have the cantilever out of this system. Okay. Alright, so we discussed that. So now we will move to the new part. So I think the best idea of the day will be I will lecture this morning, then we have lunch. Then I will do another final part of the lecture, Then we organize the work. In the afternoon we organize the work, and so we, and I start to discuss with you, so that Sunday morning we continue the work and we do a final presentation at the end of the morning, okay? So this will be the structure, okay? So we are ready to go. So now let's go to this other to this other part. I have the curiosity if I have the price tower there. Eccola. I put the price tower. I was curious to do a little trip to the price tower. Uh-huh. Very good. I'm curious to see in reality. Uh-huh. Eccola. Where is it? I lost it. Is there, no? Is this one? Okay. I think I agree. I probably like this. So that's cantilevered, but there is a beam that runs at the end of each floor, clearly. That is this element that we see here. Okay, so it is cantilevered, so it's cantilevered from this element, and then from this point to this point always runs a beam, maybe, like this. So that's why it's arrived to support on this point, and then there is the beam, but from there. That is how it works. In fact, we saw, no? And then in order of not making too boring or too repetitive, clearly they alternate, like in one case is white, you see, and the other case is kind of cladding with this element. But it's the same game, bam, bam, bam. But so that is works like a seed, basically. out of the support there that allows the key feature. So is that the corner are always open, so that they look out. No? And these are the beams that are in a way that can deliver out of those inside support. Okay, good. We understood a little bit better how it works. Now, let's open the third part that we are really entering in the center of, in the center of the book. We were here, I think. Okay. That is the part that is described and, how basically I made the story about the Usonian houses. We are starting to move to the center of the, and the part that is more devoted spaces in the book. Because basically going back at the book, the book has a structure that even one important person like Wright cannot enter in the scene of the book too many times. So he must enter, you are mentioned, he's mentioned in different moments, but you have to decide in which moment he plays the key historical role. So the interesting person, as a person like Wright, you have to decide as author, as a person that writes the book, where is the moment in which, in a way, he marks the most important historical relevance, and so it was most meaningful in a way to understand his historical relevance, and particularly in a person like Wright that has his life long 70 years, his career long and more 70 years, he can surely enter in the scene to a full right in many different moments, right? In the prairie houses, the block houses later on, etc. I decided to have it entering in this chapter, that is the chapter that we call the, come lo chiamato, how it's called the chapter? In the old part, the moment of individualism, how did I call the second part? Yeah, okay. So, because basically the idea is really how Frank Lloyd Wright was able to face a huge crisis in a way. And how Frank Lloyd Wright was able to translate in an American culture certain issues of modernization and industrialization that was coming up front with the revolution of modern movement in the 20s. So the whole point to understand is that he captured and he understand those topics, but he translate those topics within an American culture and within particularly its own particular culture, its own imprinting. So the main issues that are the issues at the center of the thinking about the European architects like Le Corbusier, Mies, Gropius, and what it was called the CIAM, the Congress of Modern Architecture, that were all things done in Europe. In a way, Wright was able to keep those topics, so those important elements, and not copying them at all, but transform those topics in its own universe. So, we can see at least three major programs or three major concepts that really are interested
the European architect, the major revolution of the modern movement. What is the city? What is the new idea of the city that must be put in attention now that the industry and the industrial revolution happen? So, the first topic is the city. Another important topic, it is housing for all. So the issue of housing was absolutely fundamental. And the third topic that we may consider, it is place to work. And basically what Reich was able was always to change the European way, to address each of these topics to its own way. So he had its own interpretation of the city, its own interpretation of the housing, and its own interpretation of the breeding place. This different from the Europe, but the topic is the same. Okay? That is something that is relevant to understand for you. And all these things basically started more or less starting in the 30s. All this process became clear in the 1930s. So basically was able to do its own revolution, really building that. How these things developed? Well, you have to understand some aspects. Okay, let's see how the images are organized. Okay. In 1932, in America, international style, the so-called international style. In 1932, in the United States, Philip Johnson, a young, very bright architect, and a little bit older person, Alfred Hitchcock, created this important exhibition at the MoMA, Museum of Modern Architecture, in New York City, and they brought to America some aspect of the new functional architecture of Europe. So they brought Mies van der Rohe, they brought Le Corbusier, and they brought a little bit of Gropius. But it is very interesting how they name the exhibition. They named the exhibition the International Style. Now, the word style, it is something completely foreign to the whole engagement of the European architects that were very much engaged with politics, with social, with real functions. So for them, the modern architecture was not a style, was a mission. Was in a way a big engagement of architecture with the issues of society. The Congress of International, the SIAM, Congress International Architecture Moderne, they were not dealing with style. They were dealing with the issues of the city. They were dealing with the issue of popular housing. They were dealing with the issues of place to work, etc. So this is very interesting. So with Hitchcock, and Johnson, what it was, a profound social, political, visionary engagement became style. Becoming with the idea, in a way, was, okay, now enough of Art Deco, enough of this neoclassicism, now let's use this new, transparent, modern style. And they brought it with this exhibition. Just as a parenthesis, Philip Johnson is the key person of this type of thinking, and late in the other 70 years, after this, almost 60 years, he changed more than once, and he changed more than one style, in a way, always bringing to America the idea to change style. So he was the champion of the abstractism of Mies van der Rohe in the 50s. He brought, again, a type of almost neoclassical style in the 60s. He was the champion of postmodernism, eclecticism in the 80s. And believe it or not, this is the most incredible thing, he was the main person beyond the deconstructivism. So, it basically, but the idea that Philip Johnson always had is that architecture as a business, as a fashion, has to renew in order to gain its relevance in the States. So that was his position. So he changed style, basically. He promoted at least six different styles along his career. Starting exactly in 1932 with the exhibition at MoMA. Now, you read the book, right? Has been told you to read the book. Okay, now I ask, I think there is in the book, there is one phrase that I put in the book to tell what was the crisis of Frank Lloyd Wright concerning that particular exhibition. Let's see who finds that. Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's the phrase. What is the exact phrase? That is you win the game. So now, what is the exact phrase? Okay, what page are we? 139. Yeah, okay, this is the exact phrase in Italian. Okay, this is the exact phrase in Italian. Okay? I don't know where it is in the Albanian version, where it is. There is La Città di Reich. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, you found it. Okay. For me, it's complicated to look at that. So, now, just focus on this point. So, Wright was invited to the exhibition. But he was invited as the grandfather. He was the grandfather, he was kind of the pioneer, was considered really the grandfather on the porch, on the wheeling chair, with the pipe, and the hat of the pioneer. That's how he was invited. So, Johnson, perfido, I don't know how you say in English, perfido, said, yes, he's the greatest architect of the 19th century. Eh?
Like, did he
Yeah, like, you know, yes, we invite him, he's the old grandfather. He's the old grandfather. So we invite him. On one way, technically speaking, he was right, because in 32, right was 32 plus 33, he was 65. He was 65, was a man of 65. Already had this career, already in a way he retreating himself, because if you look at the blockhouse, you feel it as not sure the way to go up, really, in the future. It was more a kind of rethinking, you know, Mesoamerican things, etc. And so, he was invited, so he was considered the greatest architect of the 19th century. That is almost an insult, right? So that's why I put this particular thing to tell you that really this new engagement of Wright in the 30s was kind of signing, I'm not the grandfather, I am the greatest architect of the last 500 years. And in fact, basically, the series of invention that he's making in this particular moment are very, very, very important. They are moving, they are basically taking apart the issue of style, that was the issue that interested Johnson, etc., like this new scheme, this new transparency structure, and all that, no decoration, but that is an issue of style. He readdressed the issues that are important for European architects, they put it at front, but he transformed them in an American philosophy and in its own philosophy. Okay, so let's start with the city. So okay. So Wright start to build in Taliesin, he start to build this huge model. See how big it is? Really huge model of his idea of the city. And he called Broad Acre City. What is this Broad Acre City? It is a city that is based on lots of concepts that, in a way, are related with his way of thinking. So, low density was one key aspect of it. And low density, it is an issue that does not lots of sense in Europe, but it make a lot of sense in his vision of America. Imagine the prairie houses, the large distance, the horizontality, and a lot of available land. That is something that is related to the American thing. So the first thing was low density. The second issue is mainly low rise. And the third interconnected issue is this idea that is so strong in America, is that is that one of the individual home. While in Europe, as urban idea of Europe, density, common apartment block, etc., is in a way something that is shared by the culture in many situations. Don't forget that the first insulae, that means multi-apartment blocks, are done at the Roman time, so it's something that is known as a tradition. In America, really, this large distance, this great spaces, etc., went to the culture with the idea of the individual home as the most preferable way to do. Then, what it is immediately clear when you see this image. Can we have less light? I don't know where to turn them off. So you have a better image. Sì, grazie. Yes, no, completely. Yeah. Okay. Okay. No, chiudi. Off, all completely. So you have a better image. You know my face by far, by now. So, the other idea that is very evident here is, in a way, the presence of nature in the city. Like nature and the city are end in end. And you see that immediately from this vision. Then there is another idea that comes more clearly related with all experience of also of Europe, etc. That idea that there is some level of functional zone to a certain extent. So although it's very kind of homogeneous, but here run the bigger transportation along this part that is more industry or more business thing, and then the individual homes move like that. There is some other idea that is typical of the American city, that although everything is pretty much ordered, but there is always something that breaks that system. Okay? So that happens in Brooklyn, New York, it happens in Washington, elements, etc. So there is always something that breaks the grid, in a way. So here you can see some natural elements, etc. So it's possible to zoom and start to imagine like this low density idea of the American city was crucial. And basically he was doing that in Talisi. So he was doing that with the apprentices, etc., in one phase in which also he did not have much work. Because basically this 1932, at the end of the 20s and the end the end of the 20s and the beginning of the 30s were deep, deep crises for Wright, in reality. In America was the depression. Plus, on top of that, it was its own. So its own that did not have a lot of work. I mean, it was not a big moment. So basically, he also reacted to a certain extent with this idea to making this model and this study. So here we see, again, from that magazine that I mentioned, this is gives you the sense of how big it is. This is the price tower you see, and this is the model of the Broadacre City. Okay, so what does it do? And then that is another image, always from the same or from the same magazine, because. Now, the idea is this. He started to make this model, and the model also was used to be centered in different places of America. So it was kind of traveling. And one of the important travels that he made, he arrived in Pittsburgh to the department store of Kaufman. I know the place because I taught in Pittsburgh for years, so I know exactly what is the building, where it was, etc. So the model of Broadacre City arrived at the Kaufman big department store in Pittsburgh and was seen by the son of Mr. Kaufman, and this is the beginning of another story. It's the story of Falling Water that we'll talk later. Now let's be stick on the main screen, which is this one. So, the idea is that basically the housing, you have not only to imagine the city, you have also to imagine one type of housing, or low cost housing, but it will be the American way, not the European way, not the existence minimum typical of the of the functionalism, international functionalism of Mies, of Le Corbusier, of Gropius, but an American way to do low, moderate income housing, but with the idea of mainly to kind of think some of the key idea of the particular American way. So one of the typology that he invented is this typology that we are going to talk later on. I just wanted to show you the page to have the sensation how Wright communicates those things, you know, because this is important. Because it's not other person that made the layout or anything. This is really how he wanted to communicate, because the magazine was basically laid out, thought, every detail is done by Wright at his office. For example, look at this. This is so important. These are, that are in each page, are like the main concept. So it's not a key. There is not a key, actually. To understand that this is, it's not a key, never a key. It's always the main concept that he shows in the picture, like all that is shown here. And that is interesting how he creates a page. So here we express the concept. This is one of the housing type that he imagined from Broadway to City. This was all also called "Each Man His Own Castle" as a motto, because it's a cruciform scheme. You see, what does the cruciform scheme allows? Allows that each apartment has its own portion of the universe. Basically, it opens in its own portion. And each one does not overlook on the other. So basically, each one has its own outside, its own inside, etc. Why the hell you have to do this instead of the single house? For the same reason that we were discussing here. He started to be interested in how it's possible to merge the idea of the individuality and almost of the single home that is so important for the American culture with the idea of moderate cost. Very moderate cost and very controlled. So the idea of popular housing that was so important for that moment, in this case it became that. So is these are the type of houses that they have in mind the workers of the industry. It's not done for the rich, it's done for the normal, or the medium, that is the idea. But within the American way. So, this is clearly a suburban type of scheme, clearly, because you understand it from here. You understand it from the perspective here, right? You see there, these are the four houses and there is their outside space, and then another one. So it's clearly a type of suburban scheme. What do I mean? They don't create any urbanity. That's not the issue. It's a suburban, you understand that? Prego, volevi dire una cosa? Yes. In this particular case, there is nothing that breaks the grid. It breaks the grid at a larger scale. This, I was not noticing here. Like in the larger part, there is something that breaks the grid. Like, I'm talking about that concept in the large urban planning. If you see Washington DC, it's the same. If you see New York, the same, etc. So there is always some element that breaks the grid and then can be done for the presence of natural events, or can be done by purpose or anything like that. But there is a typical dialectic that is always there. So in this particular case, there is not, because it's something that he planned or is drawing like that. The point that is very important that I wanted to point it out, this is not only a low rise, clearly, low density, clearly, but also is a suburban scheme by nature, exactly by the fact that we see that, you know. So there is no sense out of this in which you create a street, piazza, things like that, that are typical of urbanity, for the simple reason that this is done with this idea, you know. Look, there is a garden space that says another garden space, this kind of magical thing. So that is typical suburban. It's not an urban idea. I don't know if you get that.
Just from what I can notice over here, you can see that the houses aren't always in the same rotation.
Yeah.
They create, like, roads that twist and turn. So
yeah, they he plays a little bit about that. I think that the rotation is done to avoid any specific camp type of organization. So at the end, the whole issue here is that each houses has two solar exposure. So basically are more or less the same, because one has southeast, another one has southwest, another one has northwest, etc. So basically at the end they can rotate more or less as you care, because it does not make any major difference within this scheme. And the key thing is, again, is that idea, this idea of the opening, again goes with the idea of the open corner as much as possible, that I told you that is a concept very important for just the quality of the room, and it's also the quality of the illumination, and in this particular case, went with the idea of each man his own castle. That was the motto behind this. And so you have to imagine that this is done, although I'm not sure that we have put it, but basically are thought for this. One other reason that I completely forgot to mention was that broader acre thing was also based on the idea that this kind of suburban life allow a piece of agriculture for each one. And if I remember well, I should double check this information, we can do it later, but I think it was the idea that each house has 1 acre of land. Now 1 acre, I think it is less than half hectare. It's less than half hectare. I don't remember, but it's not 1 hectare. It's much less, 1 acre. So the idea was that low density, popular, low income housing, 1 acre of land, some type of communication, but there is one missing point that I did not mention. What is the missing part that allows all these things to work? Eh? No, the river is important because it's a landscape, etc. It's the car. All this thing works because there is the car, the automobile. So the automobile, basically this, it is something that embodies the presence of the automobile as an individual means of transportation. So in the 1930s, already in America, the car as an individual, popular means of transformation, was almost there. So in a way, with this project of Broadacre City, he envisioned something that was almost there. Almost ready. It was almost ready. Because Henry Ford started to produce his mass car in the 20s, called the Ford T. It started to boom, and the highways and things started to develop already in the 20s, and very much in the 30s, as a way to counterattack the depression, because Roosevelt put a lot of money in public work as a way to recover the depression. So in a way, Wright was envisioning something that was almost ready to happen in his idea. The car, the low rise, the available thing, the low cost of construction, and the transformation from the typical single home to certain type of typology that were more economic, more possible, very smart, but keep the style of the American way of being. It's like, in a way, so he was just one step in advance. Just to make an example, we can imagine a new type of house today based on the robot. The robots are almost there. We are very, very close to have a real efficient system of robotization. It's almost there. So if you go in YouTube or people, you are already full of all those things. So you can start to imagine how the house can change when the robot is there. So we are almost there. You do it just a few years in advance. That's a nice challenge, eh? Because it's going to happen. So who is going to imagine first? We have some advantage. You are not talking of a process of 20 years ahead. Like you could start to imagine, but that was already done in a way, how this car is based, this home is also based on the presence of the car. When internet is arriving, clearly the idea of the city can change completely, because everybody can have a completely different way of working, organizing. The internet is a revolution as important as the car in shaping cities. But anyway, let's be sticked on right now, but these are thinking that could be interesting for you to just add in some part of your brain, right? So anyway, so we realize these things. We realize these things. We saw this typology. Here we see it a little bit better. The plan is drawn with a trick, an interesting trick that it's always the same apartment, but it rotates like, of course the apartment rotates, but one, first, second, third, fourth, is also rotating, right? So this goes here because at the other floor is there, and then rotates again, you arrive here and arrive there, right? So it's just a way that he makes the plants a different level, so in only one drawing, show basically the four houses, but actually the four different plants. Okay, you understand that? So the configuration is just plan first level, second level, third level, authority, but it's the same apartment that we see rotating because it's actually rotating. So we can now we can look at it and notice several things that maybe we can see. If maybe, we'll see how to organize in group or not. But I was trying to imagine, for example, how this, that is a typical suburban scheme, can be changed with the same idea to make it urban. What you have to change in these things to be from suburban like it is to make it urban. That would be an interesting topic, but let's not deal with it now. Here they are. Clover leaf. I don't remember what clover is.
The Irish people, the Greek flowers.
Ah, quadrifoglio, esatto, il quadrifoglio, okay. So il quadrifoglio, the flowers in four that the Irish people have. The clover leaf, so it is the name, and the motto was...
Yeah.
It's because it is clearly why it's clover leaf, you know, it's pretty evident. So this is how we call. Ah, guarda, interessante. Look again, motor car. Convenience at home with the ground. Alright. Usonian houses for the user. Pitfield must use a quadruple sand deck type. Sand deck. Okay? Because the other issue here that was also described, that one thing that you think it was very important is to have the sand deck. That means that from the that was a way that the children can play in a controlled fashion, and that was not typical of America at all. They don't have typically sand deck. But he said this is important because of the children, the small one can play in a controlled place. So they were making a whole story. Don't forget that right, I think these things are described here. And don't forget that right used to basically advertise this project in women's magazines. And so all that was kind of all consistent in a way. So the deck, he pointed out that attention because that is the invention. And the other thing is the carport. Here it is. So the car as an element of this type of, it's like the robot of today, although we don't have any head. But to tell about the car as an important part of the thing, we are in the 1930s, so these things are just happening, just to don't look it with our eyes. The car, the idea that the house, the single family house, already incorporated as a main idea, the car, it is fundamental. So the car is in some way the quintessential thing that allow that. We may push, if we want a little bit too much, that is the instrument that allows that. But I will not put too much on that area, but it's clearly an important element. Without which you don't understand this, and without which you don't understand the Usonian house. So he invented his name, Usonian, basically something that he almost invented. He comes from USA, you know, United States, America. Probably the word already existed, but nobody ever thought to call the Usonian houses, the American houses. No, call it the Usonian. It's a little bit strange, no? Eh?
The reason that he wanted to call it Usonia is because at the time the South African state was being combined, and that was also the United States of Africa, and so that was also USA.
Uh-huh.
And so there was conversations about changing the name of America to Usonia, which is the United States of the et cetera, et cetera. It's just a longer version of
okay.
That. So if you think about it, he was also thinking about the name being changed before it was even changed.
Yeah. I did not know that. So he kind of was ready for an eventual change. I did not know that. Good. Interesting to know. And now, let's see something that I put it here. Let me see. Okay. Okay. All right, this is what I wanted to show. I wanted to show the European counterpart. So, this is the European counterpart. That is Le Corbusier idea of the city for 3 billion inhabitants. It's a completely different idea. You see, completely different idea. So, what I was interested that you pointed out, the issue of how to address the issue of the city, of the modern city, was an issue, was up there. And the European found their own way, and write in the 30s, at the age of 65, he start to be again upfront in making a vision of what the American version of the modern city has to be. So he's not looking for a city of the past, he's looking for the city of the future. But he's looking at the city of the future within the American way of addressing things and thinking. So, if you look at this, this is Le Corbusier's idea of the city, of the modern city, you know? It's completely different idea. Completely different idea. For example, the first thing that you notice, is that, yes, there is green space in a way. There is a surface on which the building are sitting, but there is not the idea of the engagement between natural elements and architecture. So the type of mental landscape is completely different. This is a Cartesian abstract way. There is nature on one side, like a perfect surface, out on which I put objects. It's a Cartesian idea. Cartesian, right? Come in. You can say that it's more efficient. It depends. It depends from which point. Yeah, clear efficiency was a very important issue for Le Corbusier. You can say that within its own thing, yes. You may say, to a certain extent, yes, in a way. Because the functionalism and the rationalism was a kind of important thing. To be Cartesian, you want to, absolutely, to be efficient. Non ho capito, che...
stavo facendo una
calcolazione, sì.
Che in un gioco di Friends for Life,
sì.
Possono stare una famiglia americana, in un gioco, nello stesso gioco possono restare...
molto di più. Assolutamente hai ragione. Infatti questa, this one is talking about density. We will say in the American, the city of Frank Lloyd Wright is an extremely low density, while in this case it's a higher density, so in a way it's more efficient. In fact, Le Corbusier, these are skyscrapers in which he thinks there are offices mainly, and are in the center. They are surrounded by this typology that he called the redans. The redan is housing, basically, with probably, I don't remember, 8-10 floors, so quite dense. And this is another type of units that he called immeuble villa. These are immeuble villa. So all these are different things, and I think along some part, I don't remember, probably between one and the other, there are the industry. Means of transportation, etc. Also, this one is clearly based on the presence of the car already, no? But it is very interesting, this issue of the density, because if you start to think at the issue of today, that you have to face today, there is one direction that goes in lower density, eating out a lot of agricultural land, that is a tendency that is trying to be stopped. Cities try to become, again, denser, because actually to be denser, it can create a better ecology, in a way, than spread too much. But these are discussions of today. Let's be back there. But it's true. Density is an important issue, and generally speaking, density is a factor of efficiency, in a way. So, anyway, let's go back to the American Frank Lloyd Wright thinking of the Usonian houses. Then it happened, the real, okay, let me see, what time is going, okay. So, then he invented another typology that is the typical Usonian house. The typical Usonian house is not clearly the cloverleaf, but is this other typology that he expressed there, and he started to design. The first one was the Jacob's house, and then he designed many of this typology. So the Usonian, the typical Usonian house is this one, and it is a very, very interesting combination of a lot of elements that we are discussing, that we knew, etc. So it's a typology that is intended for low income. I made the calculation, and it's written somewhere in the book. Basically, the cost, I made the final, the cost of the house was the cost of 1 year salary of a medium person. I made a calculation at a certain moment. Eh? Yes, but that doesn't mean much, except if you don't understand how much it is for today. So, I made the calculation, I think around, I checked, etc. If I recall well, it's written somewhere in the book, but if I recall well, it's the cost of 1 year salary of a medium person. So, the cost is important. The other thing, it is again, the idea that it's basically a single family house, so it's clearly for a low density type of thing, suburban type of thing, so they are all coming clearly with the idea of Brodacre. So this is the idea. The idea is not this city, it is this city in which the Usonian house it is. And technically, from a distribution organizational point of view, is the quintessential of, in a way, of the intelligence of Frank Lloyd Wright as a designer. And we see lots and lots of elements, lots of elements into this. And there is one chapter dedicated to the Usonian called with L, I think is this called, right? Because there is so many aspects into it. So we are going to discuss about this into detail because it is important. It is really important. So we do it a little bit of discussion now, then we take a break, and then we go on. Okay? All right. Look at the drawing. Why I pick this drawing? This is clearly a drawing directly, it's not a redrawn, it is something really drawn by the office of Frank Lloyd Wright, even by his own hand, almost. It's a really interesting drawing. Now, I want that you point it out, and you should know that from the book, what is the key element of the drawing that I was interested in? Eh? No. Eh? No, I was interested in one specific, very specific aspect of the drawing, and it is written in the book, although not particularly in this concept, but it's coming from the reading of the book, you should be able to understand why I was so interested in that particular aspect of the drawing. Eh? No, no. Read the book. You have the book in front of you, or you are supposed to have the book. Look at the book. Don't invent. It's written there. Everybody is a key element, out of, of which you understand all.
They start from, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
If you're making that you're wrong, you are wrong.
Okay,
no. This is an equation. You don't invent. You have to look in
the
book. Okay, then what is it?
It starts from the center and the heaven.
No.
Okay.
What is the key element of the drawing that I'm interested in? That is the question. What is the key of all the other discussion that we are going to do? Eh? What?
It says here the key element with the...
No. No.
Look at the books. Asren Sela. Who's Asren Sela? You did it. Balla. Chi è Balla? Balla, forza Balla. C'hai il libro là?
Sì.
Ok, dai. No. Helios. Chi è Helios? Helios. Qual è? Ardit, Dula. I will not leave you. So, this is the game that can go on for hours until you get it. Look at the drawing.
Maybe the hand shape or the
orange. No. No. Knisto. K-N-I-S-T-O. Knisto. Cristo. What is your first name? I cannot understand. Eh?
John.
Joanna with that X though. Joanna, but he's with that X in front. So you are Greek origin. Okay, Joanna, what is this? No.
They can be extended.
Eh?
They can be extended during the time. It's a part of the...
This is I'm talking, be careful, because I'm talking, what is the main characteristic of the drawing that I was so much interested in? So we're talking of the drawing. And it's something really built in the book, although not necessarily immediately. So it's the whole book.
This is the model. The model.
Who said? Good. Gold. Gold. The key thing is the grid. Is the grid. This is the key thing. I get it. Is the grid. The grid is the key element. Now that you focus on that, immediately everything comes back. Because the secret, the real secret, is the grid. Now, this grid, for Frank Lloyd Wright, is at the same time an actual instrument of work, but it's also a symbolic idea. It goes with the idea of the prairie. The idea that you kind of measure and you conquer and you are, so the grid in a way is the quintessential idea. It's so much embedded in a lot of thinking. Of course, because the city is the grid, but also because it's the cultivated land that is gridded. It's the cultivated land that is gridded. So it goes with the idea of the type of landscape that he has in his imprinting. It's something that is so important that become, in a way, a key element to understand what's going on, what is really going on here. So now that you understood what is the grid, what is the real particularity of this grid?
It's not square.
Okay, it is not square. It is clearly organized in something that we may say is 2x3. I think, or 2x4. So, I don't know, I'm not sure, but probably it's 2 feet by 4 feet. Probably. 2x4. Probably. Because clearly this is in feet, no? The American module is feet, it's not meters. So I suppose it's 2x4. Because this seems to be two squares. I think it's 2x4. We can check. But that is not the main particularity. There is one particularity that is absolutely crucial, which is Imran. Dove sei? Where is Imran? Imran, which is... use your brain. You use your thinking. You use your blood. Use your DNA. I don't know, it's a horrible, horrible answer. So, make an hypothesis. Have you understood the question? Eh? Imran, have you understood the question?
Yes.
Can you repeat the question? What is my question? Repeat just my question. What is my question? What did I ask? What did I ask?
Why was it my problem?
You did not understand what did I ask?
Can you repeat?
I said, what is the main particularity of this grid? Now, have you understood now the question? Why there is something really special in this grid, in how it is drawn, something really special. Somebody said it is rectangular. I said, yes, but it's not what I wanted to say. No, it's not the orientation.
Or maybe that the grid continues to
be that is it, the specificity. That the grid, you think that the grid belongs only to the building, is not. This is the specificity. The grid is the universe.
It's like the connection.
The universe, basically all the world is governed by the grid. This is so this drawing is just incredible. Because first you notice that the secret is the grid. And the grid, we knew that has to do with everything, going from the imprinting to the modularity, to whatever. Then we notice the second aspect that is absolutely crucial, that was that the grid does not belong to the building or to the building matter. It extends. And that means that both the construction, the intermediate space and the area around are governed by the same grid. So there is not such a thing of one object on a plateau. It is one object that belongs to a grid. And the grid, it is conceptually open. You understand how important this is? It's a very important thing. Very important thing. And this will go in the way that you may think or may design in a Wrightian way. If you do it in a Wrightian way, what do you do first?
The grid.
The grid. Clearly. I create the grid and then I start to act my own game within that grid. So basically the grid also may be seen as the instrument that allows to play the game. So that is very important to understand. We know this is a particular dimension. This dimension, it is clearly done by Wright to study
certain modularity, a certain way to control construction, dimensions, etc., etc. So this particular grid that he's using here, probably using in others, he may probably done different hypotheses, but in this particular case, it clearly was intended to be the best to do that. Okay? So, we stop now, and we go into that after 15 minutes break. Okay? So we take 15 minutes break, and then we go on in this exploration. Because we are really at the center, so it's important that you are fresh. So, we see at 15 to or 10 minutes to 11. Let me make it 20 minutes for that. Okay? So we can have a little bit time. We see 10 minutes to 11, okay?